I think one of the most significant things you can learn in your life in relating to other brothers and sisters and to people who aren't brothers and sisters, to family, to people in the world, one of the most significant practical lessons you can learn is the lesson of asking questions. And I'm just going to go through that. This is something that I feel like God has been teaching me my whole life. So I'm sharing with you, if you were to ask me what one of the top five things I would want to teach after 54 years of living as a believer, I would want to teach ask questions. Okay? I bet you've never heard a talk on this. It's because it's part of my calling. Okay? It's unique. I once had a client, and the client had a president who was a very introverted German man, whose name was Walter. And my client said that the president, who was very introverted but very smart, the client, my client, who was sort of a mid-level manager or something, said, our president wants to meet you because he wants to always meet all the vendors. So will you meet, go to lunch with Walt? I said, sure. And they said, now you've got to understand, Walt is the most introverted man I have ever met. And if you go to lunch with him, he won't say a word. You just have to tell story after story. And at the end of that, that'll be fine. He'll like you and he'll keep paying checks to you guys. So I talked to my dad. I was explaining this the day before I went. And my dad says, Sam, he said, people like the sound of their own voice, even the most introverted of people. They like the sound of their own voice more than somebody else's voice. And if you really want to care for someone, help them find their voice. If you really care for someone, help them find their voice more than you expressing your voice. And I said, that sounds really abstract. And I said, how do you do that? He said, you ask questions. And he said, when you ask questions, you get engaged with him. So you say, what is your hobby? And then when he answers, you know, it could be fly fishing or mountain biking or whatever, it's just saying, why is that? And then when he answers, just keep asking questions. So the next day, I went to lunch with the most introverted man this client had ever seen. And I sat down with him. I said, well, you know, what do you do when you're not working here? And he happened to like fly fishing. So I said, well, what do you like about fly fishing? He says, I love the artistry of creating your own flies. And then I said, no, I've never done that. So what does that mean? So he started to describe it. And I just kept asking questions. We had a 2.5-hour lunch. At the end of the lunch, he went and told his executive staff, he said, I just met the greatest conversationalist I've ever met in my life. And I never told him a thing. I didn't converse. I just asked him questions. I let him talk. I let him hear the sound of his own voice. I helped him find his voice. Conversations engage the other person when we ask questions. And not just ask silly questions. I did have another video clip, but I'm not going to show you right now. How many of you guys saw the Home Alone movie? You're from years and years ago? Mm-hmm. Do you remember on the very first one when they oversleep? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all running around wildly in the house, and this little kid from across the street is coming, and he's interviewing the little truck drivers. He's saying, does it snow in France? And how many miles per gallon does this truck get? And he just keeps asking stupid questions. And the driver's finally said, get out of here, kid. That's not a kid who's interested in the other person. That's just a kid interested in himself. Real questions engage the other person. So I want to talk first about why questions are important. And I just want you to think about this first statement. The first recorded conversation in the history of the world, the first recorded conversation of God with humans was a question. God said, Adam, where are you? Mm-hmm. Now, in chapter 1 of Genesis, God is creating the world. So God is speaking. And that's right. And it's powerful. I do not mean to diminish that at all. In the second chapter of Genesis, God is giving humans a command. He's saying, I want you to take charge of the world. But the first conversation is after man has sinned, God comes and says, where are you? Now, just think for a moment. Do you think God is looking for information? I mean, do you think God is clueless? God said, I don't know where Adam is. It's not that. God is in some ways trying to engage Adam. Where are you, Adam? He's saying, why aren't you here? Why aren't you having this conversation with me? We always have this conversation in the cool of the evening. The very first recorded conversation is God asking man a question. Where are you? Do you think that's a coincidence? I think God is continually doing questions. We learn most through questions that engage our hearts. Okay? I took flying lessons 12 or 13 years ago. And when I was flying, one of the things you do when you're flying is you just practice takeoffs and landings over and over and over and over again. So, if this is the runway, say this line here, you always take off into the wind. So the wind is coming down this way, you take off this way, right? After you take off, you're in the air, you turn left, and then you go parallel to the runway, then you turn left again, and then you land on the runway. Then you take off, go, and you just do this. I mean, like, for hours at a time, okay? Now, I had once had an instructor that I asked, so let's say the end of the runway was right at this dot. So you're going down this way, and I wanted to know how much farther past the runway do you go? You know, I mean, you don't turn right here and then land, because you're 1,000 feet in the air. So you go past it, and then you start descending, and then you start descending, and hopefully you land right around there, and hopefully not before. And I once had an instructor that said, well, you know, the way you do it is your wing is sitting straight out off your left, and you look, and when the end of the runway is about 45 degrees off your left, okay? So I see the end of the runway way back there. That's when you start turning this way, okay? Now, this was one instructor that I had for a very short time. I had another instructor, and he said to me, Sam, when do you start turning left? He asked a question. He wasn't teaching. He said, when do you start turning left? I said, oh, you know, when it's about 45 degrees off my left shoulder. And he cut the engine. He just cut the engine down to neutral. Because I had gone down about this far. And he said, okay, land. So I turned, and I was going to land about here. I wasn't going to make it. Now, what this guy did was he engaged my heart and my mind by asking a question. And what I learned was I don't wait till it's 45 degrees because what if my engine dies? So I learned, and it's a lesson I have never forgotten. And my point is he could have said, no, when it's 27.3 degrees off your left. And you know what? I would have forgotten that lesson. But he asked me a question to get me engaged. And then he gave me an answer. So one of the things that questions do is they engage us. Another way to say that is if I just tell you, don't rob a bank, you may or may not go rob a bank, right? I would engage a bit of you, which is action. But what if you were tempted to rob a bank and I said, now, why is it that you want to rob a bank? And you'd say, well, I need money. And I'd say, why is it that you need money? And you'd say, well, because I need to get a new iPad. And I'd say, no, why is it that you need a new iPad? And you'd say, well, because I want to look cool. I don't know what you would say. But if I tell you just don't rob a bank, it hopefully will stop you from robbing a bank, but it doesn't engage the whole person. As we ask questions and we pursue it, we engage the whole person. We don't just engage the will. We engage the heart. We engage the imagination. Now, if you got a friend who's going to rob a bank, tell him not to. But don't stop there. When you want to rob a bank, and of course I'm using an example, I suspect most of you aren't bank robbers. And maybe there's only a few of you. But I'm using an example because while it's something that we wouldn't want to do, there are other things that we do want to do. If you're tempted for pornography, I'm going to say, don't do it. Let's not stop there. Let's pursue why is it. If you're tempted to cheat on a test, don't do it. But let's figure out what's going on. Questions help us engage the whole person. Mm-hmm. The best questions are ones that stir the heart. So if I give you this huge technical gizmo for Christmas, you could say to me, Sam, how is this made? It's probably not a really good question. You'd probably say, Sam, why did you give this to me? Sam, what is this going to do for me? If I say, how is it made? I could say, well, what we did is we took some raw material, we made steel, and then with steel we bent it in this shape. It hasn't engaged anything. The second thing I want to talk about in questions is layers. Remember layers when you're talking with other people about questions. The first question is go after heart issues. Heart issues tend to be, why do you do this? How is it? The second thing is layers. Typically when someone asks a question, answers a question, they answer it at a shallow level. Why do you want to rob a bank? Because I need money. That's not really going after the heart, is it? That's a very high level thing. Well, we all need money at a certain point. But you say, now why is it that you need money? Now, they could say, because I'm out of a job. They could say, because I want to buy an iPad. They could say, I need to impress my girlfriend or boyfriend. I mean, you know, I don't know what their answer is going to be. But let's say they say, I need to impress my girlfriend. You say, now why is it that you have to impress your girlfriend? And why would stealing money impress that girlfriend? In the end, you're not even creating a true you. You're going to impress a girl with a false you. Why do you want to impress a girl with a false you? You say, well, I really need her to be happy. Now, why do you need her to be happy? I mean, do you see what I'm doing here? Mm-hmm. Is I'm going after the person's heart. I'm not saying, shame on you, bad you, terrible you. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help the person by just asking questions. Mm-hmm. Now, there are times when you just say something, don't rob the bank. Mm-hmm. But don't forget the layered questions that go after the heart. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is list four types of questions. Questions that you can ask of others, questions that you can ask of yourself, questions you can ask of God, and lastly, questions God will ask of you, and does ask of you. So questions you can ask of others. I've given five reasons for asking questions of others. The first is questions are a way of expressing care. Questions are a way of expressing care. When I was between my junior and senior year of UCO, I felt called by God to go live in Israel for the summer. My very first night in Jerusalem, I was at a charismatic prayer meeting. Now, this is in 1978. But in 1978, I was probably 20 years old. Actually, I was 21. And I visited a charismatic prayer group in the center of the old city of Jerusalem. And there was probably 30 people there. So when somebody is a guest, it's very obvious, because now there's 31. Mm-hmm. And no one has seen this guy before. I stood up and said, I'm involved in the Sword of the Spirit. Well, the Sword of the Spirit was very famous in this group. And there was an abbot from the local monastery that lived inside the old city of Jerusalem. And he heard that I was from the Sword of the Spirit. And he came up and said, Sam, can we talk tomorrow? So I said, sure. And we got together at 9 o'clock, and he told me his story from 9 in the morning until 6 at night. He just told me his story, and I listened, and I asked questions. Now, I'm a 21-year-old. I did not have words of wisdom for this man. I really didn't. I mean, I'm not being humble. I didn't know what to tell a guy. But I could listen to him and ask questions, and he'd say, I'm having a hard time with this person, or my parents were upset with me. And I just said, why do you think that is? And I listened. And at the end of the day, he said, Sam, that's the best counseling I've ever received. Now, I wasn't counseling him. I wasn't counseling him. In fact, I was a Presbyterian. I didn't know how to counsel a Catholic priest. But in fact, at the end of the day, he said, Sam, will you bless me? Well, Presbyterians don't bless anybody. So anyway, I'll tell you what I did. So I said, oh, Father, would you bless me? Bless him. And he came over and he put his hand on my head. And he prayed, and then he made a sign of the cross. I said, okay, I'm ready. So he sat down, and I prayed over him, and I made a sign of the cross. It was the first time as a Protestant I ever made one. But you know what I did? I was able to express care to this man just by listening, by letting him hear his voice. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I could have just taught him this. What you need to do is have better prayer times. What you need to do these things. And that's true. But what he needed is someone to hear him. Mm-hmm. And questions enable us to hear the other person, not just to let it go. The second thing is questions enable other people to reflect. There's an old saying that wisdom comes from experience. But that just is not true. Wisdom comes from reflected experience. I know many, many people who do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. They haven't gained any wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know what Einstein called insanity? He said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But wisdom is reflecting on your experience. And so sometimes when you have a friend who's going through something difficult and they come away from a COA thing and they said, you know, everybody looked like they were having fun, but I wasn't having fun. And a friend will come along and say, now, why do you think you weren't having fun? You know, did you feel like people weren't engaging you? And then you listen to the person. You don't just say you should have had fun. Just have joy. Remember Christ died for you. I mean, those are all true. But ask them, why do you think you weren't having fun? What do you think was happening? Why weren't you getting engaged? Do you see how you're engaging the person and you're giving them a chance to reflect on it? Mm-hmm. Wisdom is reflected experience. Questions help other people reflect. Questions help us learn about them. That's my third thing. Questions help us learn about each other. People often tell their story, but asking questions helps. When I was at my company, I had not been in sales. I was in support, and I was asked to do a demo, a sales demo, because the normal salespeople were gone. And so I was going to do a sales demo. I'd never been on one. So I asked the salesperson, why does this new company want our software? And the sales guy says, I don't know. I said, okay, well, what software package are they using? He said, I don't know. I said, what don't they like about their software package? He said, I don't know. I said, what would they like to see in a new software package? He says, I don't know. I thought, this guy has never learned the art of asking questions. So I went to the client, and I visited for 2 days. I asked every department, and I just asked questions. I was in customer service. What do you like about your software? What don't you like about your software? What do you need your software to do? I asked accounting that. I asked marketing that. I asked every department. For 2 days, I asked questions. And then I prepared a one-day presentation. 8 hours, 8 in the morning to 5 at night. 2 hours into the presentation, they said, forget it, we're going to buy the software. Because by listening to them, I was able to show them the answers to their questions. If I had just gone and said, I'm going to show you this and this and this and this and this, I wouldn't have been addressing their needs. Mm-hmm. So asking questions helps us understand. It's so easy for me to come along and say, Brian, what you need to do is read this book. You know, because I love the book, so I tell Brian he should read it. But what if I say, Brian, what's going on with your life? Brian, what's happening? You know, where are you most fearful today? What are you most anxious about? What are you most hopeful about? As I learn him, then I can say, you know, I read a book once that I think that might help. Now, it might not be a real book that I just read. It might have been a book I read 20 years ago. We're so eager to offer what we have at this moment. But what we really need to do is ask questions. Mm. You know what? It's a beautiful, wonderful service to ask questions of others. Because we all want to hear our own voice. But that means you have to not hear your voice to lay it down. So, questions are a way of expressing care. Questions are a way of getting other people to reflect. Questions are a way to learn about them. Questions also, as I was just showing, is as we learn about them, questions are a way for us to help them. It's only I've asked Brian what's really going on with him that I can help him. My tendency is to say what's going on with me is this. This book helped me today, so it's good for Brian. But that's just the self-centeredness, isn't it? I mean, hopefully I'm doing it out of some good nature. But I'm not thinking about him. I'm thinking about this is what I'm learning, so this must be what Brian's learning, needs to learn. But God has often put him on a different place. And the best thing to do, the best way for me to help him is to ask questions. Lastly, questions make us leaders. Now, so this is number 5. Questions make us leaders. Now, I want you to understand that leadership does not mean you have 100 people following you, in my definition. Leadership is being able to walk into your calling, which is to express the effect of your life. Okay? God has given you something, and you can bring that to other people. But you don't know how to bring that to other people till you understand them. Let me go through the 5?
Yes.
1, questions are a way of expressing care. 2, questions help others reflect. 3, questions help us learn about them. 4. Questions help us help them. 5. Questions can make us leaders. My son Jonathan, who was younger than David by about 2 years, my son Jonathan was going to a Young Life camp. It was a Christian camp for a week or two when he was 10 or 12 years old. And for some reason, I don't know if it was family vacation or family schedules or something, Jonathan couldn't go with any of his friends. So he was going. Now, normally you would go to these camps with, you know, 3 or 4 buddies and you would have fun. And Jonathan, who is, boy, it's hard to describe Jonathan. He's a little introverted and a little extroverted, but he doesn't necessarily like going and meeting a bunch of new people. So I had to drive him, or 3 or 4 hour drive north. And he said, "Dad, how do I get along with people at camp?" I said, "Ask them questions." He said, "No, what do you mean?" I said, "You're going to be at a camp." So his camp, you know, you have different weeks. 1 week with special guys, people were interested in mountain biking, and another people were interested in equestrian or something. I don't remember. He was going with a group of people who were interested in skateboarding or skating. And he liked, I think, skating. So I said, "Ask people why they like skateboarding or skating, whichever one that is." And they'll say skating, and you'll say, "Now, what do you like about skating?" So why do you like that? You just start asking questions. At the end of the week, he was awarded the leader of the whole weekend. So, you know, there's 1,000 kids there. And they said he was awarded a leader because he asked questions. Hmm. And other people felt his care. Hmm. You know, there's a way that as leaders we want to say, "Follow me, I've got the charge." But the real way we express our calling, the best way, is to ask people what's going on with their lives. Hmm. And you will bring what God has for you to bring, because you now know what it is that they need. It's going to make you a leader. It may not mean that you're going to be the next president of the United States. It may not mean that you get a promotion, but it will always mean you bring the effect of your life to other people. I'm serious. One of the most important lessons I can teach you is ask questions of others. But secondly, I want to say, let's ask questions of ourselves. Questions help us reflect and gain wisdom. Sometimes my wife says something to me and it pisses me off. I'm sorry, it does. She's not here, so I'm going to say it that way. And someday, Sarah may say something that'll piss David off. I doubt that. Although he might say something that'll piss you off. And a typical thing we would say is, how do I make sure that I don't yell? How do I make sure that I don't stomp off? How do I make sure I don't sulk? That's not going after the heart. A heart question is, now why did that upset me? You know, so if my wife says, "Sam, you never pick up the DVDs." Now, I can just say, okay, I'm going to start picking up DVDs. And I can just say, I'm not going to get mad when she says that. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You know, to myself. I can also say, now why did that bother me? I mean, it's true, I promised to pick up the DVDs. Why is it that I'm getting mad? And I'll say, because I sort of feel like she's treating me like a little kid. And I'll say, no, why do I feel like she's treating me like a little kid? And if she is, why does that bother me? I'm not a little kid. I'm 54. If she wants to treat me like a 12-year-old, why is it that's bothering me? Do you see what's happening here, though? Is I'm starting to go deeper and trying to understand what's really going on in my heart. Mm-hmm. And eventually I realize, you know, I'm making this up. But it could be I need her approval in a way that may be unnaturally balanced, unhealthily balanced. Because there's times when I need my wife's approval, but there's times I don't. And if I completely need her approval, I may make decisions that are wrong. But if I just say, quit getting mad when she says pick up the DVDs, I'm not deeply reflecting on what's going on. So a good question. When you feel good about something, say, now why did that make me feel good? When you get upset about something, say, why am I angry about that? Why am I so disappointed? Ask questions of yourself. Secondly, it's more than commands, I'm going to skip that. Third, remember, questions always require layers. So, I can say, my wife says, Sam, pick up the DVDs. I can say, no, why do I get upset? If I just stick with my first answer, it's rarely the deepest answer. Mm-hmm. I could just say, because she treats me like a kid. Well, then I'll say, number one, is she really treating you like a kid? Or number two, If she is, why does that bother you? If my wife is treating me like a kid, why is it bothering me? The fourth point I want to make here, and I know that you probably only got two of them, but the fourth point is questions create an intimacy with Christ. See, when I ask myself, why am I being upset when Carla says, pick up the DVDs? By the way, this is not something she always says to me, so this is more of a hypothetical situation. When I start saying, why do I get upset when Carla asked me to pick up the DVDs? Or why did I get upset when I felt alone on the COA week? Or why did I get upset when I wasn't picked for this leadership team? Or why did I get upset? What it does is it drives us to Christ. Because Christ is the one who really knows our hearts. Questions of yourself are an invitation to intimacy with Christ. I can finally say, God, what are you doing in my heart? Why are you raising this issue? There must be some idol, there must be something I'm clinging to in this world apart from you that's bringing me happiness. And really, I'm telling you, you know, Scripture talks about praying without ceasing. I would say one of the greatest lessons that I've learned about praying without ceasing, and of course I don't quite pray without ceasing, but I pray with fewer interruptions. One of the ways I do that is throughout my entire life, daily, I'm asking God, why am I reacting that way? You know, so I've given talks. You guys are relatively engaged. You haven't fallen asleep. At least you haven't snored too loudly. But, you know, I've given talks and people, you know, might be distracted. And I can be saying to God, why is this happening? It's pushing me to God. Questions are an invitation to intimacy with Christ. Questions are really important. Next, I want to talk about asking questions of God. Now, I want to make a warning before I do that. There's two different ways to ask questions of God. One is to question God, and one is to ask questions of God. The first one is really bad, and the second one is really good. So, take the birth of Jesus. An angel comes to Zechariah and says, your old barren wife is going to have a baby. He says, how can that be? And God strikes him deaf, because he's not really wondering. He's questioning God. An angel comes to Mary and says, You are going to have a child. And she says, how can that be? And God says, you're going to be blessed. Now, do you notice one person is questioning God? That's not always very good. But questions of God are very, very healthy. Mary's question is a really good question. I'm a virgin and I'm not married. How can that be? She's not questioning God, but she's saying, help me understand more. Help me understand more. We ask questions, typically, invariably, of those who know more than us. That's the reason we can ask other questions about other people's lives. I can ask Brian, so what's going on in your heart now? Now, I'm willing to bet that Brian knows more about what's going on in his heart right now than I do. Is that a reasonable assumption? It's one of the reasons we ask people questions. It's one of the reasons we ask questions of God. I say to God, God, why am I getting upset when my wife treats me like a little kid? Let's assume that that's true, that she was treating me like a little kid. God, why is this? We go to God because God is the one that knows and understands. I think we go to God to ask questions even when there's hard questions. I think we go to God and say, God, how can there be evil in the world if you're a loving God? Now, we don't always get the answer, but God always gives us something. So if we ask God, how can there be evil and suffering when you're a loving God, we'll know the answer. And the answer is, it isn't because God likes evil and suffering. What we know is Jesus himself took evil and suffering on himself. So at least we know that God wants to care for us and be with us in evil and suffering. But you know what? As we ask questions of God, it creates an intimacy with God. Lastly, when you ask questions of other people, it actually takes an energy. Because there's a way we all want to have our voice heard, right? And if you ask questions of other people, you have to be willing to sacrifice to let somebody else's voice be heard. And you know, where do we get the energy to do that? We do need energy. I want to say the way we get energy for that is God asks questions of us, and God really wants to hear our voice. Throughout Scripture, God is asking questions of us. And remember, he's not normally looking for information. When he says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" He didn't say, "Oh, I didn't know you were behind that bush." He wasn't surprised. He's stirring their hearts to say, "Now remember, we used to really enjoy this time of intimacy in the cool of the evening? What's going on?" God is asking us questions. And he's not looking for information. He's looking for us to pour out our hearts to him. You know that abbot poured out his heart to me? That executive of a company poured out his heart to me. God wants us to pour our hearts to God. And so he asks us questions. When Jesus was on a lake, a little bit bigger than this lake.
Sea of Galilee.
Sea of Galilee, thank you. There's a big storm. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And then he wakes up and Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" Now, you know what? That's a question we should all ask ourselves. Where is our faith? You know, Scripture says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." What it means is we can trust in the Lord for something else. We can trust in the Lord that God will give us the perfect spouse. We can trust in the Lord that God will give us the straight A's. We can trust in the Lord that God will give us enough gas to get home. But that's not trusting in the Lord. That's trusting that we'll really have a cool spouse. That's trusting that we'll really get straight A's. The thing that really makes us happy is a good spouse or straight A's. But the passage says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." When God says, "Where's your faith?" He's saying, "Are you just having faith in me to get what you really want?" Well, that thing that you really want is your real trust. When God says, "Where's your faith?" He's saying, "I want you to just have faith in me. I just want you to trust that whatever I let happen is the very thing you need for me to dismantle and rebuild and release." I have some more, but I'm not going to go through it. What I am going to do is I want to give you a handout. I created a handout, and I just put enough questions to fill this one page. These are questions that Jesus asks people. That there's like 150 or 200, maybe 250, I can't remember. I just picked 31 because it filled one page. And I'm going to ask you sometime in your prayer time just to start going through these questions. And each question asks from God about yourself. So the first one says, if you greet your brothers only, what's unusual about that? Do not unbelievers do the same thing? Just ask yourself, as though Christ asked you that question. God is asking these questions not to condemn you, not to convict you, but to get you to pour out your heart. And you say, you know what? I do just greet the cool people. Why is that? Why do I not greet the other people? What's going on with me? It's because I want some way to be acknowledged. I want some way to be in the in crowd. I want something. God, how can you make me be part of the in crowd being just with you? Does you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let Christ ask you these questions. And then pour out your heart to him. And when you do, it'll give you the strength to ask questions of other people.